Today I'm talking about a subject that is a matter of time. And the sermon today is going to be a little bit unusual. What I really want you to do is I'm going to preach in several segments. And I want you to take each segment as it is. And I want you to think about how you can apply that to your life, to your situation, and see what it means to you. Because I believe that God is going to speak to each and every one of us today in an individual way. Not in a way where I'm telling you what to respond, but in a way where God is going to speak to you in a unique way. And it's going to be unique to your situation. It's going to be unique to the journey that you've been on and to your journey that is ahead. Okay? So I want to start with a little story about a man who rushed into a railway station one morning and almost breathless, he asked the ticket man, "When does the 801 train leave?" Well, 801 was the answer. Well, the man replied, "It's 7:59 by my watch, 7:57 by the town clock, and 8:04 by the station clock. Which time am I supposed to go by?" "Well, you can go by any clock you wish, but you can't go by the 801 train because it's already left." Do you know, time is an important something. Some people set their watches fast. Some people, they get there when they get there and it's not that important for them. You guys have all got to church this morning nice and early, on time. Nobody's just walking through the door, are they? No, it's okay. You're not that late for church yet. But time is important and we value it differently in different stages of life. As I've got older, I value time a little bit more. Do you remember when you were a kid, the summer holidays lasted forever? Now you go on holiday and it's immediately over. Feels like you go to sleep and tomorrow you're going home. Your weekend happens and finishes and you think, where did the weekend go to? I want to read a passage for you from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's a famous verse, a famous passage about time, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it says, "There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." There's a time for everything. Some people in life hold on to something for far too long. My daughter is a stickler for the date of best before products. So you know when your milk is on that date, she questions it. And I'll keep saying, "The fridge is cold, it's fine, I've had a smell, I've had a taste, it's fine, yes, but it's 3 days over, Dad." It's still fine, but you know, there's a lot of things in life where actually the time has passed and we need to give them up. And there's also a time when something new needs to come, when God gives us something new. And the Bible is filled with so many stories about both being faithful and about having something new. New wineskins, a new spirit, a new way of doing something, new thinking, a new paradigm shift. You've heard lots of sermons all around that subject. And you've heard a lot of sermons that are all about God being faithful, staying righteous, staying doing the same thing, just working through the day after day mundane toil of just doing the right thing before God. And they are both true. And what we need to keep doing is hearing the Holy Spirit to know when is the right time. So today I'm going to look at some of those different stories. Like I said, we'll see how many we get through based on the time that's happening. Please don't judge me on the time and clock watch today, okay? We're going to just get it about right. So, even Jesus, time mattered for. Do you know that? One, he was only around for a really short time, and his ministry was only for a very short time. And you've even got these moments where, do you remember Jesus, when he went to the wedding, his very first miracle, his mother said, "Do whatever they ask of him." And what did Jesus say back to her in John 2 verse 4? "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour, or if you're King James, my time has not yet come. So even Jesus knew there was a right time for something, and he was God. He had the ability to do everything through the Holy Spirit, but he knew he needed to wait for the exact right time. And in John 7, verse 6 to 8, Jesus was talking to them and he said, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival, I'm not going to go to this festival because my time has not yet come." Jesus knew that timing was important. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can be a little bit impatient. Particularly if the 8:01 train was supposed to have left at 8:01 and now it's 8:04, 8:05, 8:07. In fact, I just think if I'm getting on a train, the train should leave as soon as I get on it. Have you ever been on a bus, doing a bus journey, and you're just trying to get somewhere and the bus randomly stops at a bus stop and sits there and waits? Man, is that annoying. Because there's no traffic, just go. And they're like, "No, if we go now, we're going to miss somebody at the next bus stop." Well, I'm kind of glad they didn't miss me at the bus stop in the first place, but is it so annoying waiting for the right timing? I'm very sure that Jesus felt exactly the same. Bear in mind, Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was in his 30s, and he would have been, well, he already was, a bit of a temptation to a little child, because you found him in the temple, opening the scriptures in front of the rabbis, doing those things. So he knew it even as a child. He knew what it was like to be in those higher echelons, explaining the scriptures even as a young boy. And then he held on to it all the way through until just the right time. So if you're impatient, if you're sat on the bus and the bus doesn't seem to be moving anywhere, just hang on and remember that even Jesus had to wait for just the right time. So be patient and keep faithfully doing the things that God has got for you right now. Okay, number two. Some people had a long wait. And I'm going to read you the story about the man who had to wait for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. So John 5, verse 1 to 9, it says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?'" It's a silly question to ask somebody who's choosing to go to the pool for 38 years, that isn't it? "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day in which this took place was the Sabbath. Now, this is a really interesting story for me. There's lots of layers within it. Why there was a pool there that angels' wings touched and stirred that made people well and all those things is sort of irrelevant. There was a guy who was there for 38 years, day in, day out, waiting for his miracle, doing something about it. And he had put his faith in the waters of that pool. He wasn't alone. He wasn't an oddball. He was doing what everybody else who was blind, lame, and everything else around him, they all went to that pool expecting their miracle, hopelessly waiting and waiting and waiting. And then occasionally, they saw the water stir, somebody rushed in quick, got their miracle and came out, which gave a little bit of hope to everybody else. But really, he knew there was no hope, because he's now 38 years slower. We don't get slower as we get older, do we? But he's 38 years slower. He's 38 years more disabled. He's now got no friends. Everybody's slower. Woe is me. I haven't even got the support network to make this work, but I'm still turning up. with an expectation of something happening. I'm watching miracles happen for them, miracles happen for them, miracles happen for them, but no miracle happening for me. I'm not sure I'd have bothered getting out of bed in the morning to drag myself to a pool to know that I wasn't going to get in the waters with a miracle happening for me that day. I don't know about you, but after 38 years of nothing happening, there was something special about this guy to actually keep going every single day. But the reality of him was he had regrets from not getting in the pool. He had no friends. Everybody else was pinching his opportunities. He was just a failure. Nothing was working in his world. For somebody here today, you might feel exactly the same. You might not have been waiting 38 years for a miracle to happen. You might have been doing what you thought was the right thing for 38 years. But I'm telling you today, when Jesus walks up to your life and asks you the question, do you want to get well? We best respond in the same way that this guy did. Because immediately he was well. Immediately he stood up. And a time changed, and that day would have been lodged in his life for forever. Because 38 years he was an invalid. One day he picked up his mat, vumph, gone. Totally free, totally healed. Do you know, Jesus can do that exactly the same for you and me today. A miracle that we might have been waiting for a long time. When Jesus says, get up and go, get up and go. Because your miracle can come. Your future can be totally different. What's really interesting is later on in this story in John 5 verse 14, Jesus finds him again later and said to him, see, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse might happen for you. I don't know what this guy's sin was. I don't know what his lifestyle was. But I know from reading this that I like to think that it's all wrapped up in the fact that he had hope and now he still needs to have hope. He had a lifestyle and now he needs to have a brand new lifestyle. And he needs to give thanks properly to Jesus for his miracle. So if you've been waiting for 38 years in the hope of some random something happening that's going to stir some waters and you're going to be the first one in, maybe you've been blaming it all on your friends or your attitudes or being late for something. No matter what it is, take the opportunity when Jesus walks up and says, now's the time, get up, here is your miracle. Because immediately you can have a breakthrough. The next point is something that's quite similar, and it's number three, and it's I've sort of entitled this one about the immediate calling. Do you know, when Jesus called his disciples, they didn't question him. Matthew 4, verse 18, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting nets into the lake because they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, immediately, suddenly, they left their nets and followed him. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Do you know, for the disciples, time mattered. I'm not sure if Jesus would have asked them twice. In fact, we do know that for some people, when a follower came and said, let me follow you, but at first let me go and do this, Jesus said, pfft, and they missed their opportunity. I don't believe we're going to miss the opportunities that Jesus has got for us, but when Jesus asks us to follow him, do it immediately. When the call of Jesus is really clear, don't hesitate, don't make excuses up, just do what it is that God is asking you to do right now. It won't be crazy, it'll be really simple. It won't be contrary to the word of God or to wisdom. It will be right in line with what God has already dropped in the bottom of your heart that he's been encouraging you with in the scripture, in your Bible reading, in teaching, and you'll know, yep, this is my opportunity and I need to do it. Can you imagine those fishermen? If they'd have said, just let us pull the nets in first. Well, let's just catch enough so that we can eat our tea. But none of them did. They immediately just left straight away and followed Jesus. Okay, number four is be ready to give. Be ready to give. This is all about having fruit in season. Mark 11, verse 12 says, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went out to find out if it had any fruit. A fig tree in leaf isn't a fig tree with fruit on it. Okay, that's the normal picture. That's what they're trying to say here. He shouldn't have really expected to find fruit. He might have done. But when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. The Bible's just really making sure you've understood this now. So you go, come on, Jesus, you know about this. I know you're a carpenter, but you know fig trees. You know that it's not fig tree season. That tree doesn't look like it's got fruit on it. Then he said to the tree, may no one eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Then Mark 11, verse 20, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And Jesus said, have faith in God. And this very famous verse then, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. We often don't read those two passages together. But really, I want to just explore something with you today. And the first one is, you better be doing what you ought to be doing all the time before Jesus. Fruiting for Jesus isn't just a one-off moment that you do just when the season comes right. There's a lot of people, they want to live their Christian life just in those pinnacle moments of life. And then when they're past that pinnacle moment, well, it doesn't really matter. We can go back to being what we were being again. But actually, timing matters. When Jesus wants to collect some fruit from you, you best have some figs on your tree. Because I don't want to be found by Jesus with no figs on my tree. When Jesus comes to me hungry, I want to be able to say, here you go, God. Yeah? Do you understand that sort of imagery? What that means is we've got to live it right day by day. We've got to be doing the right things. We've got to be fruiting, not waiting for a particular right season, but doing the bits that God has asked us to be doing right now. If you're operating in the fruits of the Spirit, if you are living it right before God, if you're living it righteously, I believe that God is going to make you fruit in life. We're not called to just evangelize when all the stars align. We're actually called to go and make disciples day in, day out. We're called to live it right day in, day out. We're called to be people of faith day in, day out. We're called to connect with the Holy Spirit day in, day out. We're not waiting for a season that is yet to come. We're supposed to be doing it right now, living it right now, not waiting for this opportunity to happen. And if you've been waiting for a job, for a marriage, for kids, for a house move, for summer to come, for whatever it is, just do it right now and keep doing the right things. That way, when Jesus comes to you or to me, he's going to find fruit in our lives. And that will mean he's not going to say, woof. Secondly, is Jesus' teaching around this verse, which is all simply, have faith and ask him for your miracle. Basically, believe that it's on order. I love getting those emails. You know when you buy something and you get that email and says, well, normally if you do it on Just Eat, we've got it in the bag. Your restaurant is preparing your order. You go, whew, great, I made the app thing work properly. There was money in the bank. I know that at some point, don't quite know how long, but my pizza's going to come. I know that my Amazon order is going to arrive. I know that whatever it is that you've bought is going to come. Do you know, with faith, we've got to pray exactly the same as that. We've got to pray that when we've asked for something, that God has heard it and he's going to respond and it is on order. We need to believe for ourselves that every time you ask something in faith, not with an offended heart, not in an offended way, but in a way that is right before God, in line with his word, God hears it, he settles something in us, and he says, yes, it's on order, it is on its way. I don't know when the timing comes, and we can get frustrated with God about that. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you acknowledge who it is that is fulfilling the order. and God is fulfilling the order of our prayers. Okay, number five, stay prepared or have oil in your lamp. You know this one. Matthew 25, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five of them wise. The foolish ones took their lamp but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took it in oil jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. Ever felt like God's been a long time in coming? Ever felt like you know that answer's coming, but it just, wow. Being hungry and waiting for the pizza is a great example of that. You know, your pizza always comes early when you don't really need it to come early. And then when you're desperately hungry, it takes forever and ever and ever. Then at midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. And you instead, go and sell oil, go and buy some for yourselves." But while they're on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, as the others came, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." And he said, "Truly, I'll tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour." Being prepared for Jesus and his plans is really important, because if not, you risk doing like that guy did at the beginning and missing the train. "Well, my watch says this." Yeah, but the train's already gone. I want to ask you, what do you need to be putting in place today, tomorrow, in your life to make sure that you are making the most of the time that you've got right now? Because we don't get today again. We get tomorrow, but it hasn't yet come, and yesterday's already gone. But we don't get today again, so make the most of today and do the things that God wants you to do. Be in the right place at the right time, but be well prepared. Don't run out of something halfway through. So study your Bible, put your life in order, put your house in order, get things ready so that Jesus can use you. Let's not miss the opportunity as God presents it to us. For everything, there is a season. Remember, we read that at the beginning in Ecclesiastes. But remember this from Matthew 24, this is just before this in 42. "Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour which you do not expect him." Don't live with hindsight. We've all seen an opportunity where we knew God had given us something. But if you look backwards, you'll just live with regret. Actually, what we should be doing is living right there, searching for God to come and bless us, prepared and ready to take those opportunities with God as they come. Okay, my last point, good job, because we're nearly out of time. Has it counted down on the back? Yeah. So sometimes we wait for too long and time is too long. Just remember, Abraham waited for even longer than we did. He had to wait far beyond what felt like a reasonable time. And this verse in Genesis 18 pretty much sums this up for me. And it says that Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So when told that she was going to give birth to a child, Sarah laughed to herself and thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" If you're 100 years old, God can still cause you to give birth. If you feel 100 years old, God can still cause miraculous things of great joy to happen for you that might really scare you, because I'm not sure that any 100-year-old, including Sarah, really wanted to give birth. And it was still another 20-odd years beyond that before she actually did. But you know, God has something in store for you. And it might feel like it's taken a long time. We sang it in that song, God is faithful. He promised. We know he's faithful and he's going to do it again. He's done it before and he's going to do it again. If he's promised something, it's going to be. I know that God is faithful for the forever. Just because you might think the milk is out of date and past it, God is great. A bit like, You know, we're talking about ordering things. Just as the milk goes out of date, ding dong, fresh milk arrives. God just does things in just the right time. He has this providence for us that whatever we need at just the right time, God provides. Or if you want a little phrase that goes with this, don't give up just before your miracle. Remember that God is not slow in delivering his promises. We read this in the Bible study on Wednesday night in 2 Peter 3 verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There's lots more in the Bible of those stories, from Esther, who said just the time she was born for just the time as this. Do you know, there's so many times in the Bible where the word immediately is used, just as many times as there is the word faithfully waited. And I want to encourage you today, make sure that we're taking those immediate responses. Make sure that we are waiting faithfully, but make sure that time matters. In Habakkuk 2, verse 3, and this is my final verse, it says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, time waits for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Do you know, God is waiting for perfect timing. He has perfect timing in your life. He has perfect timing for the universe because he created it. Every single one of our days and his perfect timing was written in the book before any of us came to be. It is mind-blowing how perfect God's timing is. But if you're waiting today, keep waiting faithfully. Keep waiting expectantly. Keep waiting with those birthing pains where you know that God is doing something. It is on order. It is coming. You've got the delivery email. And whatever it is that you're waiting for today, be prepared. Keep getting things ready in life. Stay faithful. And don't worry, God hasn't missed you yet. Even like Abraham, he had to wait a very, very long time. But when the miracle came, it came. It might not be in the way that you expected it, but God's timing always matters, and it's always perfect, even if our human impatience gets in the way. But today I want to pray, and the band are going to come and help support us in a minute. And after we've prayed, they're going to just minister this song to you again for a moment or two that we sang just before this sermon. And I want you to think about some of the points that have maybe challenged you today in this sermon. I want you to think about some of those things that God has been stirring in your life. I don't know what they are for you because they're individual to you. Whether it's about you being prepared, whether it's about you making the most of every opportunity, whether it's about you taking those immediate opportunities, whether it's just being trusting God for the faithfulness of his timing. And I want you to take the opportunity to pray and to commit that to God in these moments. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your perfect timing. Thank you that you love us and you've always got a plan that starts right where we're at. Thank you that you've already called each and every one of us. And I pray that you will help us today to make the most of every single opportunity that you give us. Whatever it is that you've stirred in people's lives, God, I pray that you will bring it to pass quickly and in the right way. Amen.